Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. This is the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast, where three dads get together to chat casually about games. Every Thursday, like today, we break down the news stories that we found most interesting over the last 7 days. Please rate our show 5 stars, leave a written review, and come visit our Patreon page. We rely on listener support, so if you like what we do here, you can help sponsor the show, starting at $5 a month, which will give you access to our Squadcast bonus episodes. I am your host, Paul, and joining me here, he's currently waiting out a queue of over 40,000 people to get into one of his new favorite games. It's Josh.
39,997 now, Paul.
And when you get to zero, it's just going to restart and go right back.
That's the queue to get into the queue. That's what they don't tell you.
Yes. Like the line in Disneyland outside Peter Pan, and you think you're near the front, and then it's just, you know, the new wait on the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And joining us, you can find him on the streets of Night City. And the good news is that when he finishes all his work, he's going to have a whole new installment within the next couple years to keep him busy. It's Michael.
Oh, Night City always changes. But the one thing that's consistent is I am always there. So, yeah. Looking forward to the sequel, although I feel like there's like 6 games in this one game. That's all I've been playing lately, and it's been insane. But, yeah, I mean, we'll get there. I was watching, by the way, the all the stuff in Discord about Overwatch, and I'm like, the first couple of days, I was so jazzed and excited to play, and then I'm like, I'm just going to wait until people say the queues are smaller because it's been nutty.
There's no queues anymore.
It's fine now.
Yeah. The first like 3 days was pretty rough.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
Yeah, it's normalized at least by now. But yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. You know, right now we are playing Cyberpunk. We're going to have a deep dive for that available on Monday. And that kind of serves really well because we got so much news this week out of CD Projekt Red. This was quite the announcement. They announced that they are working on not one, not two, but 3 Witcher games, a Cyberpunk 2077 sequel, and a brand new IP. They also said that almost everything moving forward is going to have some kind of multiplayer element to it as well. Guys, that's quite the announcement.
CD Projekt Red is not dead, apparently. Man, I mean, you know, they caught a ton of flack after the release of Cyberpunk, rightfully so. We have all been playing through Cyberpunk again 2 years after its release to see if the game is, you know, what it was
playable
initially. Yeah, if it was, you know, is this the game that was initially promised? Is it playable? Is now the time to dive in? We're going to have all that for you guys on Monday. But man, CD Projekt Red kind of turtled up a little bit after the Cyberpunk release. Like, there was not much talk. They were trying to do damage control. I feel like Thronebreaker came out after the Cyberpunk release, if I remember right. Thronebreaker was great. And then that was kind of it. And then all of a sudden, here they are. They're kind of like poking their head out and they're going, is it safe, guys? Is it safe for us to come out and develop some more games now?
The groundhog is popping up.
Like, is an arrow going to whiz by my head, or are people going to be like, yeah, give us some more of them games, man?
I feel like the groundhog reference, if they saw their shadow, they didn't see their own shadow. They saw the shadow of the developer of Assassin's Creed that we talked about a month ago and said, can we announce more games at the same time than the Assassin's Creed franchise did? Because it's like, you know, we had like 5 or 6 games there. Man, they really threw a lot of stuff at us here, and all of it sounds exciting, but at the same time, a lot of it is very high level. Like, we don't know a lot of details yet, which is, it could get really interesting.
Yeah, I almost feel like in some ways it's almost like a decade of content.
Right.
But they're working on all these things simultaneously. So, you know, just to give a very quick rundown here of what we're looking at, CD Projekt Red has given these games code names. And so we have a Cyberpunk sequel, which is being called Orion, and they say it will take the Cyberpunk franchise further and will continue to harness the potential of this dark future universe. We have the next Witcher game, which is being codenamed Polaris. That'll be the first game of a brand new trilogy. We've got a whole different Witcher spin-off game called Canis Majoris, which is going to be developed by an external studio, and we don't even know who that'll be. So I feel like that's very early in the works. We also have the third Witcher game, which is codenamed Sirius. We know that that one's being developed by the Molasses Flood, which is a Boston-based CD Projekt Red studio. We know a lot of people are moving over from Poland to Boston. And we've got this brand new IP that's completely distinct from The Witcher and Cyberpunk universes, created completely from scratch. We have no other info yet, although they did say that they are just now working on the foundations of what that game is going to be. So really, we know nothing about that yet. So out of all those projects, like, do you guys have any that you're most excited about?
I mean, I'd love to dive back into the Witcher universe. If there's one thing that CD Projekt Red does great, it is world building. I mean, when you play The Witcher, you live the world of The Witcher. I mean, all of the faction struggles, the poverty, like how the elves are outcast and just kind of downtrodden and stuff like that. Cyberpunk, Night City is phenomenal, man. Like the world that they built for Cyberpunk is alive. I mean, you really feel like this is a place that's out there. So I get very excited when I think about a new IP, because to me that says, hey, they're going to build something new and it's probably going to be phenomenal. I'm kind of ready to dive back into The Witcher, to be honest. Like, I think the Cyberpunk sequel, if that's what we're going to call it, is probably going to be great. But it's been so long since I've played The Witcher that I really want to get back into that like fantasy setting.
Witcher 3 was 2015, I think, so it's already been 7 years.
It's that been a while. Yeah, they keep touting that they're going to do, and they keep saying it's going to release this year, but the big upgrade to The Witcher 3 with, like, the 4K textures and resolutions, and, like, you know, they've been working on this for a while now, and they've delayed it multiple times. They keep promising that that's coming out this year, and, I mean, The Witcher's already a gorgeous game, so if they, you know, if they put this in 4K with ray tracing and all the fancy stuff, I might dive back into that, but then I know I'm going to play it for 8 hours and then just fizzle out. That's going to be more just like, ooh, look at the pretty graphics, you know?
Right. It's plus the first 8 hours of The Witcher are also notoriously difficult to get through. So it'd be like, yeah, exactly. I don't know if I want to commit to this or not. But yeah, you hit a good point, though, about the worlds they create. CD Projekt Red, like, the world is almost like an extra character in the games. Like, it really does, without actually having a narrative and dialogue, it actually guides a lot of how you feel, and how you feel guides your decisions. So I am really excited about the new IP. I am really excited about the Witcher games. I loved The Witcher. Again, I've only played The Witcher 3. I tried to go back and play The Witcher 1, but it's even the remastered is still pretty dated.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah.
It's rough.
I'm just not sure what to do with this many Witcher properties. You know, do I want to just see what's next with Geralt of Rivia? Are they even going to continue with him? Do I want to see what the spinoffs are? It could create this awesome universe. It also could be Witcher Overload, kind of what Star Wars and Marvel are doing right now. So let's just see how it goes, you know? So the new IP is what I'm most excited about, I think. Well, that and more Night City.
And Cyberpunk and Witcher.
Yeah, so all of them.
They're all exciting. And also Cyberpunk, if you didn't. Yeah.
So when thinking about brand new IP from CD Projekt Red, so I think for the most part, when we think of CD Projekt Red, we're thinking of Cyberpunk and The Witcher. So we've got this futuristic sci-fi world. We've got this fantasy setting world. For a brand new IP, do you have any guesses where they might go next? Or is there anything that you're kind of hoping that they do?
Give me space, man. I want space, dude. I want CD Projekt's world building with their massive, like, I want to go out in outer space and either check out giant Star Destroyer capital ships and be on those, or like planets or something like that.
Interesting. But what about you, Michael?
I thought of two things that'd be really cool. I think it'd be cool to have like a James Bond-esque spy thriller. That might be interesting just because of the fact that, you know, the world building and so forth. But that's a little bit too basic, I think. So I was thinking, you know, they haven't put out a Western game yet. And there was a really terrible movie that came out probably in 2006. It was called Cowboys and Aliens. It had Harrison Ford and it had Daniel Craig, very brooding Daniel Craig. And I was like, man, what if they did a Western game with aliens? So it kind of goes with Josh a little bit with space, but let's just do like, you know, where you can upgrade like your guns and stuff with alien tech and Cowboys versus Aliens. I think that's what they're going to do. I have a very good insider there. That's not true. That told me Cowboys versus Aliens is coming.
So Josh wants to go to space. Michael thinks maybe they'll bring things from space to us. When I was thinking of this, I would really love to see CD Projekt Red go full horror, because they already incorporate really horrific quests and elements in their worlds. Like, The Witcher is a pretty dark universe. Night City has some really dark elements, like the seedy underbelly of the world and all that. I would be very curious, although I do wonder if they would go too dark. Like, that would be the one concern. They almost might do it too well, where it would almost feel oppressive trying to play a game that's just all, you know, jump scares and horror and things like that. Yeah.
There is a way that we can combine all three. We can make it so that a cowboy from 1886 is transported to the future aboard a spaceship, and that brings in Josh's idea, and then it's like the world of Alien in that spaceship. Like, it's just dark and gloomy and all xenomorphs and stuff. Then we got a horror game too, so we're all three right if they do it that way.
That would be quite the prediction if things turn out.
Oh, man. Would it just mark
I'm going to laugh really hard when that comes out.
Right.
It's like, nothing it's literally like that.
Right. It's like Candy Crush 3 they're producing. It's like,
boy. Oh, the extended Candy Crush world. So I think CD Projekt Red having all these projects announced at once is really cool. But at the same time, when you look at the release of Cyberpunk and you see all the years of build up, and how that game more or less flopped in different ways, I think what you could really boil it all down to is that they just bit off more than they could chew. And so I am a little concerned that maybe they're working on too many things at once. Do you guys think that might be a concern, or do you just trust them now that it seems like Cyberpunk's more workable? Have they kind of like earned your trust back?
Well, I think it's wise that they're partnering with other studios maybe to fill out some of the detailed elements. Like, they can control the narrative, they can control the story, but some of the pieces that, you know, Cyberpunk, for instance, didn't go well on upon launch was a lot of that, you know, the polish. You know, there was a lot of glitchy details that Paul and I both remember in our first playthrough, the blood that floated 6 inches above your hands, things like that. And I think that's things that the third-party studios might be able to kind of polish for them while they're doing this. But yeah, I'm a little concerned.
I'll be honest, I'm not too concerned, to be, you know, I think that they've learned their lesson. I'm trying to be very optimistic here, but when you go through what they went through, I don't think you make that risk again, you know, at that point. The CEO, there's been a recent article, we're not covering it this week, but the CEO is stepping down for CD Projekt Red, so they're going to have some new leadership in there. There's articles coming out that saying that Quantic Dreams, I think, which is the QA company that was supposed to test Cyberpunk, was basically lying about the number of people that were testing the game. And so there's all these things that are kind of coming out saying, hey, this is why Cyberpunk was such a disaster on release. But CD Projekt Red, up until that point, made phenomenal video games, and they know what they're doing. And so in that case, I think they're taking this learning experience and they're going to use that moving forward. So I'm not too worried about them overhyping games and then releasing them and having them be in a really bad state.
So just a very minor correction, not to confuse Quantic Dream with Quantic Lab. Quantic Lab are the ones who really fumbled the quality assurance for Cyberpunk. Quantum Dream is the studio that did like Detroit Become Human and Heavy Rain and those
Quantic
similar
something.
Names.
Yeah, Quantic something.
I heard Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah, so much news out of CD Projekt Red. I know that they are one of all three of our favorite developers, so lots to be excited about. Let's go ahead and take a short break, and we will be right back with more Multiplayer Gaming Podcast.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, boys. So Overwatch 2 arrived earlier this week. To the surprise of no one, it launched pretty horrifically. This happens whenever you have a major release, even more so when it's free to play. Personally, I didn't get that up in arms about it because this happens with every release. This should not surprise anyone. If there's a new multiplayer game coming out, just expect it to take a day or two to stabilize, but it was still pretty frustrating that for a couple days it was very hard to try to get into Overwatch 2.
It was no good, man. I was one of those people that tried to get in almost right away, and then there was a 40,000 person queue. Sometimes the queue wouldn't update. It took hours to get through. Then people started saying, hey, switch your login server to Europe or Asia, the queues are a lot lower. Then what didn't make any sense is, like, one of my daughter's friends got through the Europe queue instantly. I was stuck in a queue of 2,000 people that took 2 hours to get through.
Wow.
You know? And so there was no rhyme or reason to all of these issues. They claim that they were getting DDoS'd. I don't know if that's a DDoS or if it's just, hey, you've got 3 million people trying to log in and play your game. Probably going to look like a DDoS. You know, at that point. We can say that at this point the issues have leveled out. I just hopped in the Americas server earlier today with zero wait. So I think they're finally to the point where it's playable like it should be.
Yeah, it's like Paul said, this happens with every single huge expected launch. You know, every game experienced this. Every game, and especially every Blizzard game. Every time there's an expansion for World of Warcraft, there was always some issues and so forth. I kind of took the same approach. I just kind of watched, you know, what was happening with the news and said, okay, now I'll try to log in because I don't want to bang my head against my keyboard for this weird issue of, like what Josh just said, with, like, some people just like, yeah, I fired it right up, I got in. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there for 3 hours wanting to, you know, hang myself with my keyboard cable. Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, I know Josh and I have played a fair amount, although we have not played with each other. It's like we'll post in our personal Discord channel with our friends who's going to play, and I feel like we've been on opposite nights. Michael, I don't think you've had a chance to hop in quite yet, but I've really been watching Reddit closely, and I know that Reddit tends to be cranky. All right, we all know that.
No.
The curmudgeons on the internet.
They are curmudgeons. The overall consensus, I think, is that the Reddit community would say the game feels far less rewarding in Overwatch 2 compared to 1. There's, you know, a few features that have fallen off, and everything is now kind of built around the battle pass, which is not terribly exciting to level. But I was kind of curious, you know, what do you guys think now that Overwatch 2 has landed? Have any of your thoughts changed since we did the deep dive on the beta? Where are you at?
I have been playing a pretty good bit. I've probably at this point got 20 plus matches in, maybe a little bit more than that. I think it is a trade-off. This is my thought on this. The gameplay is better. So the actual combat in Overwatch 2 is better than the combat in Overwatch 1. The maps are great. The modes are great. There's not a single level where I go, oh, man, I don't want to play this level.
Like, no, but Paris.
Remember when we'd get Paris in, like, Horizon Lunar Colony and we'd all
Lizard
just be
World.
Like, yeah, we'd all groan and be like, yeah. Ugh. So all of that's gone. So it's like, wow, this is great. The characters feel good. Like I said, very little barriers, very little CC. The combat's crisp. It's tight. I really, really enjoy it. That said, they did take away some of the other enjoyable aspects of the game. You can no longer be on fire. which is really goofy to me because when you were on fire, it just kind of showed you, hey, you're doing well. And it was such a simple little thing. You didn't get any reward for being on fire. It was just like, hey, you're doing good. You haven't died in a while. Like, good job.
It's a little attaboy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
like a little mental hype train. Just keep going.
That's gone. Your characters will still say something like they sure know they're on fire, but you are not on fire anymore. You know, there's some people that say they miss the card system at the end to kind of see some of the cards. My thinking is the scoreboard kind of takes over on that. I am a huge fan of the scoreboard still. I check it all the time. If I'm DPS, how am I doing? Am I high damage, high limbs? Am I sucking? If I'm the worst DPS out of all four of them, then I got to pick it up, or maybe I need to switch or something like that. You know, if I'm healing, am I the highest DPS? Because honestly, that's all I do when I heal is still DPS.
DPS Baptiste.
Yeah. So there are some trade-offs. The gameplay itself is better. Some of the peripheral stuff, I think, is worse.
So in regards to the player cards at the end of the match, I do really miss that myself. Now, I know the scorecard does cover some stats. There are some things that the cards would feature that are not captured. So, for example, no one's going to know how many deaths you prevented with Baptiste's immortality field, or how many mechs you called as D.Va, or if you were on fire 90% of the match. Right. There's no MVP card. So it still tracks all those stats, but you don't get that joy of voting for the best player that match. I wonder if they'll bring it back, because it does seem like most people miss it. Even with the scoreboard, I think it's really cool to have.
I really appreciate it occasionally. Like, you know, let's be honest. A lot of the cards are rubbish, you know, like, oh, damage blocked. It's like, well, that could be good or bad. I just stood there as a Rhine the whole time and held my shield up, you know, things like that. But it was really cool sometimes just to give that tip of the hat. Like when you were playing against another player who was maybe just like a really good tank or a really good healer, and you're like, man, that Mercy just keeps picking people up. And it's like, hey, you know, I'm going to tip my hat to them. Like, it means nothing, but it's kind of fun to just have everyone there. Or you can just, you know, give the nod to someone on your team who did a really good job. Or, you know, it's also better because sometimes there's, you know, in the scoreboard, there's sometimes like, oh, most damage done. Well, okay, you got a soldier running off doing his own thing the whole time, you know, and it's like he didn't really help the team. And so you vote for the person who maybe had second most but was really helping the team. I liked that. And it added an element of fun, I think, outside of just like, let's rate things by score. So I'm kind of with you on that, Paul. I really liked having the cards, even though they're pointless.
The boop-offs. We used to do that all the time in our friend group. I would insta-lock Lucio because it's like Ilios or something, and then someone else would pick Pharah, and we're like, oh, it's a boop off, and then you get the Roadhog, and we would just jokingly say, all right, whoever gets the card at the end for most environmental kills, you know, you're the winner. One thing that I didn't really consider about the Battle Pass, because I kind of said, well, the game's free, and if other people want to pay for the Battle Pass, that's fine. What do I care? The one thing that I kind of forgot, because I don't play games with Battle Passes, is that a lot of the challenges are kind of goofy and don't necessarily help the team win. So, like, I was browsing through all of my challenges, whether it's daily, weekly, or seasonal, and you will see challenges like charge someone off as Reinhardt without you falling. And you know there's going to be someone who's on the last day of the week, and they're going to pick Rhine, and they're going to be trying to charge people, and
just
things like
non-stop.
That. Yeah. So I know it would be really boring just to make every challenge play 5 games, play 10 games, play 20 games. Like, I know you can't just do that, but I don't like when they start making you use abilities which could be at the detriment of the game. I think that's a little goofy, but I don't think it'll be like a major issue. It's just one of those wrinkles with battle passes.
I will say one of the changes that they didn't talk about a whole lot, but I have found that I really enjoy is all player levels are gone. All player portraits are gone. And so when you start a match, you know nothing. Everybody, it's just people that you're playing with. You don't look at that one guy and go, oh, well, he's a diamond boarder. This guy's been playing forever. Oh, no, we've got a level 12 on our team. That guy's going to suck. So it's just a character portrait and that's it. There's nothing that defines how much somebody has played the game or how little somebody has played the game. And I actually like that because you don't start a match going, well, this team sucks. Oh, we've got this newbie over there. Or this guy better be really good because he's played 4,000 hours. And then that guy's garbage because he's just not very good, you know, which is fine. But it's like you don't have those expectations going in. And it's such a minor change, but I find that I actually really enjoy that. And it's just because it's like, I feel like we're all on even level until the first fight and we get wrecked. And then it's like, okay, this team sucks. But
seems like that is a positive, because there is an unconscious or even sometimes a conscious bias that goes into that. You know, if you go in, you know, and I'm not just speaking to like trolling overall and the nasty players that we see these days in multiplayer games. You know, like the second you see someone that's got like 9,000 hours in the game and they're just not that good, maybe they're just having a bad day, somebody on the team's going to be like, oh, I thought you were so good, you stupid, blah, blah, blah. And they start mouthing off and being angry. And they're like, the first thing they do is call it out. I got a buddy named Carl he has so many hours in Overwatch. It's the most, every time I'm in a match with him, people are like, holy cow, like, dude, do you work? Or do you sleep? Like, literally. And then if he doesn't do a good job, people are like, and he doesn't like show off or anything, but he's a target. And the same thing with new players. You know, when I log in and play and I haven't played for a couple of seasons, I just want to play with my friends. And they're like, oh, he's blah, blah. You know, he's not played it much. I hope you're good. It's like, no, I'm just coming to have fun. You know what I mean, though? Like, it removes that bias of like, we're all on a team now. We're not individuals. We're on a team trying to accomplish this goal. And I think that, Josh, exactly what you said helps that so much.
I forget exactly what level I got up to in Overwatch 1, but if I ever had a bad game, you would have, and that was a pretty good impersonation of your average Overwatch player, Michael, because I would often get hit with things like, oh, imagine being level 1500 and sucking this bad, and you get comments
still a
like
noob.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say about Overwatch 2 is that the community is a little salty about legendary skins. So there's like a bunch of posts on Reddit that did make me laugh, where they will put a common skin and the new legendary skin and say, which one do you think costs $20 or requires 32 weeks of grinding challenges to get? And it's like, they don't even look that good. Some of the common skins look better. So the skins right now, people are a little upset about that also.
Yeah, you get the new characters at level 55 in the free battle pass. I have been playing a decent bit. I mean, not a lot. I didn't get to play a lot during the first couple days. I think I'm level 10, you know, and it's like, I'm still a long way away from being able. And you have to get to that level before you could unlock the character. And I think a season is 9 weeks, they said?
9 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like it would take me a solid 4 weeks of just normal playtime, not grinding, you know, hopping in daily for a few matches kind of thing, to get to that point. I'm not a fan of that, to be honest. Like, as much as I want to be cheap with this game and not spend a lot of money, I feel like I'd almost be obligated to just pay $10 to skip that, which really bugs me, because it's like, you're forcing me into this, and I don't like that.
Yeah, you know what I'm doing. Well, I'm buying the skins.
But now it's a $60 a year game.
Yeah, you know, like, I get it, but darn them for being smart, because it's like, well, it's only level 55. And then I kind of go, oh, yeah, that's not that bad. But now that I've been playing, I'm kind of like, dude, that's a long time, man.
Well, I don't know, man. We got to reward those devs. These mythic skins take an entire year to create.
You know, something takes a year. You really need to just throw that person a tip, right?
Right.
So last story of the week, I feel like we can't end this episode without talking about the Super Mario Brothers official teaser trailer. It did drop this week. It's like a 2-minute trailer. We have not talked about this at all. What did you guys think about this?
I thought it looked great. I'm not going to lie. And all you salty people out there, and maybe one of you two is the salty person, so if so, that's, I'm going to laugh at you. But all these people are saying, it's just Chris Pratt's voice.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's fine. Like, the internet gets so upset over dumb things, man. But I am not one for a video game movie. I don't generally get excited about them. But I thought they did a really good job on the trailer. Like, my interest is piqued.
My immediate reaction was, it's animated. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm not a big fan of animated movies. Not that I'm looking forward to the colossal disaster that was 1993's Super Mario Brothers, by no means. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, this looks pretty funny. It looks pretty good. Like, the part with the whole trailer is basically Bowser, who breathes fire, going up to this ice castle with these little penguins, and you kind of see the writings on the wall. But it's so funny. These little ice penguins are so overly confident. They're like, ah, watch out, we got more where that came from. And Bowser's just like dragon breath. It's it's pretty clever. And then, you know, the rest of the trailer is really just Mario kind of like, what is this Toadstool world? And I don't know, man. It might be a breath of fresh air. At first, I was very against it. Like, I'm like, why are we even covering this? To be honest with you, I was like, Paul, can we cover something else? I didn't tell him that. And then it was like, I watched it, and I kind of wanted to watch it. It's adorable so far. It looks funny.
Well, and you know this is going to be a new staple moving forward. We're going to get a good 4 or 5 Nintendo movies a year, I'm sure, moving forward. We're going to have the whole extended universe. I loved all the Bowser stuff. The Bowser stuff could not be better. Jack Black's voice acting is great. I love the fact that Bowser is not like some big oaf the way he is sometimes in the Nintendo games. Like, you got to run in a circle and you swing him by his tail. That's fun in Mario 64, but it does make him seem a little goofy. I love the fact that he's almost like Godzilla, where he's breathing the fire and he's a real menace. And of course, the Penguin King saying that's but a taste of our fury, throwing snowballs that just fall off Bowser is great. I will say, I don't know why they felt the need to tinker with Mario's face. Why not just use the OG face for Mario? They altered him. He looks a little more like Chris Pratt, a little more human. I feel like they could have just kept the same model from before. I don't know why they changed it.
Maybe I just don't care. Maybe I don't notice enough. Like, I saw a thing, some guy posted it on Reddit where he like took Mario and then he fixed him. And it was kind of like a sliding thing.
That
where it was like, did you see?
Yeah.
And it looks way better fixed.
I'm like, does it? Like, does it matter? So. I don't know, man. It just doesn't, I could care less. I mean, I'm looking at it and I kind of go, yeah, I guess that one's a little bit better. Like, his mustache is more like Mario's mustache or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I'm like,
the eyes. The eyes are a little
really
weird.
Get upset about these minor things. I remember when Sonic came out and they unveiled what Sonic, and everybody got up in arms. Sonic looks terrible. And I'm like, it's a blue hedgehog. Like
right.
Who cares?
Although Sonic did look absolutely
horrible. Terrible. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do agree. Yeah. And then they fixed him and it looked better. And it's kind of like, I just don't see it with Mario. He looks fine.
He looks adorable. And let's, like, you know what? Here's my thoughts. It's like the original Mario was 8-bit at best anyways, and so maybe this is just a new modern translation of what Mario was actually supposed to look like, you know, if you go back to 8-bit. Yeah.
I really can't wait till we get to hear more. Like, you hear Charlie Day kind of like yell as Luigi, but there's no voice lines. You get to hear a little bit of Keegan Michael Key. Whoa, that's a woo. Don't Google
what exercises are that.
Yeah. And release. And so, yeah, we didn't get to hear a whole lot from him, but as Toadstool, it did still make me laugh. I'm very curious to see more when this comes out. I'm sure it'll be a delightful movie. I have no doubt we'll take our family to go see it. I hope it's good and quality, and I think it probably will be. And I think we'll have lots of Mario Brothers movies to talk about moving forward.
I'm optimistic for sure. And like I said, I was pleasantly surprised by the trailer. Again, 2 minutes worth, very set up for what they wanted us to see, but I liked what I saw.
Yeah, not too shabby, and it's got quite the cast. Like, it's
great,
just an all-star lineup.
Great.
There's
cast.
Like 12 names that you would recognize looking at it. All right, well, I think that's all the news that we were going to cover here for this week, so thank you to everyone out there for listening. Please come follow us on social media, on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at MultiplayerPod. There is a link in the episode description for our free Discord server. We'd love to have you guys on there as well. We always kind of talk and link about news stories during the week, and I think that's all that we have to cover. So make sure to come back on Saturday for the Quick Take episode. We'll be back on Monday for Cyberpunk. I have a feeling that's going to be like a 2-hour episode. I'm going to try to make sure it's not that long, but just by nature, it's going to be a long one.
I don't know if that's enticing people or scaring people, Paul.
Right.
It's going to be a good one. That I know.
It's going to be a 2-part episode.
It'll have a long spoiler section, I think, for when we give the warning. Yeah. All right. So that's it, everyone. Thanks so much. We will see you all next time. And until then, happy gaming.
I'm going to miss you, rascally, newsy listeners. Until next time. Cheers, all.
All right. See you, everybody.